Glory to God. Well, it sure is good to see everybody. Of course, I had an opportunity to greet everybody in our parking lot. We've got some new faces out there. We've got some new faces in here. It's just such an honor to have you here today. Praise the Lord. We know that you came hungry for the Word of God. Therefore, you're going to be blessed and you're going to be filled. Amen. God's got a good plan for every single one of us. His Word is that plan, and I know you're ready for it. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just the presence of God is very strong in here today. That means He's here to help you. He's here to give you answers for your life. He's here to, of course, you know, cleanse you of your sins. He's here to heal your body, restore your mind, teach you how to live free from fear, and so on. Amen. God is good, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 1. Over the last couple weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages called The Light of the Word. The Light of the Word. And we've been looking at the significance of the Word of God. And of course, what we need always, now, more than ever, is we need revelation in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. We just need a downright revival in the body of Christ for a love of God's Word. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you'll obey it, if you'll believe it, it'll transform your life. If you'll stop trying to invent your own way, if you'll try to, you know, if you'll stop, you know, just running with your own ideas and get into God's ideas, you'll see a life that you never knew existed for you. There is a hidden life. There is a life that God has planned for you and for me and together as a church family, and it only will be discovered through revelation in the Word of God. Amen. Go to John chapter 1, and of course, today is going to be part 3 of this series of messages, The Light of the Word, part 3. And our main text has been over here in John chapter 1 and the first 5 verses. And so if you weren't here the last couple of weeks or if you missed a service, quickly I'm going to give us a little bit of review and then we will move forward. But we're going to read the first 5 verses here in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John because this is our core text that we've been taking during this series of messages. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Or you can say it this way, "The Word is God." Notice God doesn't just say, "I'm God." He says, "I am the Word." All right, and He says, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." So now the Word is a Him. And notice this, that the word Word there was capital W, because it's a name for Christ. You know, a word isn't just something that Jesus has. He is the living Word of God. Amen. And all things were made by Him, the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. So notice this Word has creative power. Everything that you see in this life was made by the Word. So if there's something lacking in your life, guess what? The Word can make it. The Word has creative power. It has revelation power. Amen. It has restoring power. And we know this, that the Word was resurrected. The Word has resurrection power. If there's something that's dying in your life, so to speak, if you feel like your marriage is dying, if you feel like your business is dying, your relationship with your kids is dying, the Word has resurrection power. Can bring those things to life. Amen. And verse 4 says, "In Him, Christ, the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not." Now drop down to John 1:14 so you can see what the Bible is talking about here. When the Word is talking about the Word of God, capital W, it is Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So the Word became flesh, and God's glory was alive and manifested in Christ as He was the manifested Word of God. Amen. And so these are just some things. I'm just going to give you some points that we gave you over the last couple of weeks. If you weren't here, you know, just be caught up in means of review here. Notice this, go back to John 1:1, that God equivalates Himself with the Word. God is the Word, and the Word is God. As you meditate in the Word, you are building God into your nature. The more you meditate in the Word, the more you act like the Word, the more you're acting like God. See, the Word always wins, and so you can always win. Amen. The Word will always give you strength, so you can walk in strength. When you speak the Word, God is on the scene. God's Word spoken in faith by you is just as good as His Word spoken by Him. Amen. If you will learn to speak the Word, it will put God on every situation in your life. Amen. And then the term the Word there, it means literally the spoken truth. The spoken truth. So God doesn't just say, I have a spoken truth. He says, I am the spoken truth. Glory to God. And so when God reveals Himself as the spoken truth, it shows us what He wants most. As the spoken truth, He wants to be believed and He wants to be obeyed. If everyone today within the sound of my voice would make an adjustment and make a commitment to God in their heart and say, Lord, I am going to believe your word and I'm going to obey it no matter what. No matter what it costs me with time, no matter what it costs me financially, no matter the friends or the relationships it might cost me, even if it cost me, you know, my so-called dignity, I am going to believe God's word and I'm going to obey it at all costs. Amen. And if you'll make that decision and if you'll carry through with it, you will see God move in your life in a mighty way. Because God's first priority for us is not for us to see Him. It's for us to believe Him and obey Him. God wants His word to be of the utmost integrity and importance in our lives. Amen. He doesn't just have a word. He is the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And remember this. We looked over there in Luke 24:32. Remember those two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus after His resurrection. How many of you remember that? Yeah, I'll tell you what, you're doing well here today. It is a 90-degree July Sunday morning, and look, you filled the house of God. Amen. So I know you're hungry, and you're ready to stir yourselves up here. You remember when Jesus was walking with them, and they didn't even know it was Him, but afterwards He revealed Himself to them, and then He disappeared? Remember that? And they said, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us? And while He opened the scriptures to us, remember that? See, the light of the word, when it gets into your life, it'll put a new burning desire on the inside of your heart. All of a sudden, you'll have a desire for the things of God over the things of the world. You understand that? You know, so many times, you know, Christians, they'll ask, well, how do I get free of addictions? How does my life change? Get into the word. Get that new fire on the inside. It'll burn out those old desires. And all of a sudden, you'll find yourself, I have a desire to be in church all the time. Of course, we all have flesh, meaning, of course, that our flesh will resist us at times. You understand that. But there will be something on the inside that says, I got to be there. Meaning, not that I have to be there, but I want to be there. You know, I have a desire to put down that old life. I have a desire to serve in the house of God. I have a desire to give to people and to ministries. I have a desire to forgive. I have a desire to serve and to live right. And I have a desire to be free from wrong entertainment and wrong living. Amen. Because the Word of God will come in, give you new desires, and burn out the old desires. And see, those desires, those old desires, were the face of the old you. You are known by what you desire. See, the old me had desires for alcohol, had desires for party living. You know, wrong talk and wrong entertainment. And you know what? People knew me by those desires. And people with the same desires, they wanted to be around, you know, me because they wanted, just like everybody, they wanted to relieve their conscience by watching somebody else do the same wrong things that they're doing. You know, and then I gave my life to Christ and my desires changed. And all of a sudden, those people with those old desires, they went away. Not because I chased them away. And all of a sudden, I got, you know, people with the same desires for God started to surround me in my life. Amen. And that's when your life starts to change. When you get new desires. New desires will bring you new opportunities. It'll bring you new people around you that will strengthen your life. Glory to God. God really can only move in your life at the level that you desire him and the level that you show that you have desire for the things of God. Amen. So we talked about this, and then last week we looked over in Ephesians chapter 6, and we saw that the word is called the sword of the Spirit. Remember over there in Ephesians 6:17? It says that the word is the sword of the Spirit. And we talked about this, that in modern days, you know, when we see a sword, you know, a real battle sword, typically it's in an antique shop, or it's on the wall for decoration, or it's, you know, a collector item or something like that, and it's hanging on the wall. And we know this, that people aren't using swords anymore for battle. They've become means of decoration and collecting, all right? Well, the same thing, unfortunately, has happened with the sword of the Spirit, that all of a sudden Christians, they're reading it, they're decorating Hallmark cards with it, they're putting it on pretty pictures, and they're reading it in terms of just trying to get some comfort out of it. But see, you know, we don't want the sword of the Spirit to end up like a decorative sword. We need to use the sword. Amen. The word of God isn't just something that we read. It's something that we use. And when, you know, symptoms try to get in your home or your on your body or your family, and you say, no, in Jesus' name, we are the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, we are healed. When you speak that truth, you're taking a sword and you're literally shining it at the darkness. You're literally cutting down the darkness that tries to hinder around you. See, Christians today, they've been told, read your Bible and God will like you more. God already likes you. He loves you. He loves you when you're doing right, and he loves you when you've been doing wrong. He loves you, all right? But here's the thing. We've got to use the word. That means we believe that the word works. See, when a financial trial, and you don't need a trial to quote the word of God. I'm just for means of illustration. But when the world comes against you, and, you know, maybe it's a loss of a job or financial pressure, and every day out of your mouth you're saying, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When that's your confession, even when it looks like you have nothing, and you're speaking that word, that is you actively using that sword. See, the darkness of poverty, the darkness of lack is going to try to show up on all of our lives. But see, that's why you've got a sword. You take that sword out and you actively, you say, no. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when fear tries to come on you, depression tries to come on you, offense tries to come on you, you say, no. In Jesus' name, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me the spirit of fear. So fear, in Jesus' name, I resist you. See, that's you using the sword and not just putting it on your desk or your shelf. People, I'll tell you what, Christians in these days, they use the Bible more like a rabbit's foot than they do how God intended. The Bible is not a good omen. It's not good luck. It's not good karma. I'm going to say something, you know, I'm picking on that ridiculous religious thinking. People think that by putting a Bible in their house or in their room or something, it'll chase away evil spirits. No, the evil spirits will laugh at you if you think that just having a Bible there has, you know, the Bible itself has some kind of life around it that chases and wards off bad spirits. No, I tell you what, the Bible itself does not deal with demons. You deal with demons. The word in your mouth is the sword, the spoken truth. Amen. And so we talked about that. Now go with me to Romans 10:17. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans chapter 10. You know, this happened last night in Erie, and it's going to happen again here today, where I was led to go a little bit of a different direction for just a few moments. You're going to Romans 10. We are going to get to verse 17 here in just a little bit, but we're going to go to verse 1 to start. Verse 1 to start, Romans 10, 1. What does God want for us? He wants us to be students of the Word. Watch what Paul says here in Romans 10, 1 and 2. He says, brethren, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul was talking about his fellow countrymen, his brethren, his friends, his family, people that he grew up with, people that he was related to. He says, my prayer to God for them is that they would be saved. How many of you feel that way about people you know and care about, all right? You just want them to be saved. And Paul is, you know, expressing that feeling, right? But look what he says in verse 2, and I think this is very interesting. He says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He's saying, my fellow Israelites, they're zealous for God, but their knowledge has misplaced their zeal, or their lack of knowledge has replaced their zeal. Notice you can have a zeal for God. Notice you can act excited for God, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to what you know. All right? Every test in this life is a test of knowledge, not a test of zeal. I'll tell you what, and this is where we as Pentecostals, people call us, you know, charismatics or whatever, I just say we're just going to be biblical. I'm not trying to fit a mold. You know, I'm not trying to fit a denominational mold. I'm just going to fit the Bible. All right? And of course, you know, but people will label us, oh, they're charismatics, you know, they're Pentecostals, you know, they're this and they're that. Well, sometimes the Pentecostal charismatic movement, sometimes we can be extremely zealous for God. Of course, the Bible tells us to lift holy hands. The Bible tells us to shout praises. The Bible tells us about the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible tells us about the baptism of the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. You know, the Bible tells us these things. But sometimes, Pentecostals, what we do is we act extremely zealous. We're the first ones to jump, and we're the first ones to shout, and we're the first ones to dance. But then I tell you what, if you then go home and you are not building knowledge, that test at the end of the day is not going to be about your zeal. That test is on the knowledge of God, right? Remember Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. He didn't say they were destroyed for a lack of zeal. He didn't say they were destroyed for a lack of serving or a lack of praising. They were destroyed because of what they didn't know from the Word of God. So notice that these people that Paul is talking about, they were zealous for God but didn't have knowledge, so therefore they failed. See, at the end of the day, it's going to be about the knowledge you have in the Word of God. How many of you remember high school? All right. How many of you didn't graduate? Never mind. I know it's we don't necessarily want to go back there. I'm telling you, all the money in the world and all the king's horses could not put me back in high school. You know, and then I did something really wild. After high school, I went to college. And then after I got my 4-year degree, I went on to take a master's program. And then after that, I went and did something really strange. I went and became a school teacher. So as much as I hated school, I decided to stay in it for a while. You know, but remember in high school, remember pep rallies? I don't know. Are they doing those things anymore? They probably are. You know, I remember, you know, all the kids, I think the kids were excited about pep rallies because it got them out of class. I'd rather be at a pep rally than a math class all day. But, you know, we'd go to those pep rallies, and all the cheerleaders come out, football players, woo-woo, flags and banners and all this stuff. And I was really that kid who sat there looking at all that, and I was like, give me a break. Yay, go school, all right, whatever. I was one of those kids. I'll be honest, I wasn't, like, super patriotic about my high school. It really didn't matter. But I know this, that at the end of the year, during finals week, there was never one question about how excited I acted at the pep rally. At the end of the year, they expected me to know what I heard in class. See, Christians, if we're not the same, if we're not careful, we'll be the same way. Pentecostals, charismatics especially, we'll come into church. We'll be excited like we should be. We'll praise like we should, but then we walk out with no knowledge, thinking that the devil's going to test us on our excitement. He's not going to test us on our excitement. The excitement just helps us to receive the knowledge. You're going to be tested. Every financial test in this world is ultimately a test of knowledge. You know, pain in the body, sickness in the body, it's a test of knowledge. Depression and anxiety, it's a test of knowledge. You know, worrying is a test of what you know. And worrying is the surest sign that you're failing the test. Oh, boy. So, listen, why don't we just be knowledge with zeal? They were zeal without knowledge. Let's be knowledge with zeal. But at the end of the day, we can be as charismatic, you know, as we want. Woo! We can feel the Spirit. We can do all this stuff. We can see this. Angels can visit us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for it. But at the end of the day, you better know something. At the end of the day, when the devil knocks on your door and says, here's destruction, you better instantly out of your spirit say, no, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but my Lord came to give me life and life more abundantly. Oh, no. He said, by his poverty, Jesus became poor, that through his poverty, I would be made well supplied. See, you better know something if you're going to live on this world. And I'll tell you what, so many Christians, they have zeal without knowledge. Woo! You know, I show up, I serve, I shout, I praise. You know, I'm the first one in the aisle to dance. I'm the first one to laugh. I'm the first one. But then you go out and you never know anything. The devil will not mind us acting like a bunch of zealots if we go home and know nothing. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've spoken with my pastor, you know, about this very thing. There is an overwhelming lack of Bible knowledge in this generation of Christians. You see, the older generations, they studied the Word. I mean, they were in the Word. They meditated in the Word, you know. I'll tell you what, and of course that's not an indictment against all of you. You understand, just overall, the body of Christ is lacking knowledge. Why do you think our society is getting darker and darker? It's not because darkness gets darker, it's because the light gets dimmer. Darkness does not grow in strength. It's just darkness, and it can only advance when the light retreats. And we are seeing a massive retreat of the Word of God in our nation. Because churches aren't preaching it. They're entertaining. Their goal in life is to have a mega church. That is not our goal. Praise God for a full church. Praise God for a growing church. Praise God for that. But our goal is not to have a mega church. When that becomes your goal, all of a sudden your goal is just numbers. Our goal is faithfulness. Our goal is the Word of God. Amen. It's the Word that will produce growth. Amen. Have you found Romans 10:17 now? So don't be a Christian that's just zealous. Be one with knowledge. Remember what Jesus' disciples said to him, and we're going to look at this in Romans 10:17. Remember they said, Lord, increase our faith. Isn't it kind of ironic to think of a disciple, which means student, asking the Lord to increase their faith? Here's something that's shocking. God does not increase your faith. You increase your faith. Now, they were students, and they were asking for the Lord to increase them with faith, but how does faith grow and increase? How do you get more of it? Here we go, Romans 10:17, right? So then faith comes, or you could say it grows, or increases by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, notice this. As you hear and hear the Word, notice faith is built into your spirit. God's faith is now put on the inside of you. And it's going to be God's faith spoken out of your mouth that's going to remove those mountains. God's Word spoken out of your mouth, it is that sword. It is that thing that shines into the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Amen. And so isn't it interesting how students of the Word, students, the disciples of Jesus, said, Lord, increase our faith, right? Students, if you're in the Word, meditating on the Word, that is what's going to grow your faith. God does not just show up one day and say, okay, here's a free little extra bit of faith for you, little extra faith for you. No, to increase faith, that's your job. Your job is to hear and hear the word of God. Oh, but remember, zeal without knowledge. Notice, faith does not come through zeal. It doesn't say faith comes by cheering. It says that faith comes by hearing. And by hearing by the word of God. Amen. Notice it doesn't say that faith comes by reading. And reading by the word of God. Of course, reading the word will help get the word into your mind, which is important. But hearing it is what builds faith into your spirit. All right, hearing the word and hearing the word. Amen. It builds faith into your spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, and only when faith fills your spirit will it then spill out of your mouth. Some of you are getting answers for your life right now. But there's a few of you, I can see the word bouncing off you. It's amazing that when a pastor will stand in the pulpit, it's an amazing thing to see, like literally, like a substance will go out, and some people, it bounces right off and it comes right back to me. Some of you, it sinks right in. And some of it, you know, it's as a pastor, it hurts my heart to think, there goes the answers, but they're bouncing off those people. Remember last week, we used the illustration, imagine being a prisoner in a solitary confinement cell where there's no light, you're in pure darkness, locked into the inner prison. Imagine being in that dark place, and then all of a sudden someone sneaks up to your jail door and they knock and they say, hey, here's the answer. Here's how you get out of this jail. It's written on this little note. I'm going to slip it under the door, but I got to go. And they slip it under the door and they run off, and you feel around in the dark and you find that note and it has the way out of there. But there's just one problem. There's no light. You can't read it. You can't see your hand in front of your face. So even though the answers are being delivered to you, there's no light to understand the answers. And that's what happens when you don't have the word. God is sending you answers, but there's no light of the word so that you can understand it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, notice this. Faith in our hearts must be fleeting. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. Fleeting means it lasts only for a short time. Notice if you have to keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, we grow faith in our spirit, but that faith over time will start to leave us if we don't get reminded of it, if it doesn't get stirred, if we don't hear and hear the word. You cannot live off from last year's faith. It isn't what you heard 10 years ago. It's what you are constantly hearing. Faith, in order to grow, must constantly be in an environment of hearing. Know this. Your faith can grow by hearing the word from your pastor. Glory to God for that. But you know where the number one voice that will help grow your faith is? Your voice. See, the scripture doesn't say to meditate, it doesn't say to read the word. It says to meditate on the word. Do you know what the word meditate means? It means to repeat it to yourself. Repeat it to yourself. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Blessed be the Lord, forgetting not all of his benefits, who forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He has given me power and authority upon this earth to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and not one thing shall hurt me by any means. No, in all these things, I'm more than a conqueror because God loves me. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also in Christ freely give us all good things? See, you know, as you just take the word and you repeat it to yourself, you repeat it to yourself. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. The same was in the beginning, you know, with God, and the word made all things. And without him was there not anything made that was made. Glory to God. The word makes things in my life. And in him was life, and the life is the light of men. The word is the light of my life. See, what am I doing? I'm meditating. I'm repeating I'm putting myself in the scripture, and I'm repeating the word to myself. That is how your faith increases. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is fleeting. Faith can enter your heart, but it does not remain there forever unless you keep hearing and hearing. Faith will not stay with you unless you're being constantly reminded, constantly stirred, hearing and hearing over and over. Remember what Jesus said over there in Mark 4:14? He said, the sower sows the word. So Jesus said the word of God is a seed that grows things in your life. But if you aren't sowing it, you're not growing it. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23 that out of the heart or the spirit of man are all the issues of life. See, out of the strength of your spirit come all issues. You could say it this way. The solution to all issues in your life will flow out of the word that's been sown into your spirit. Amen. All issues of life. Is finances an issue of life? Yep. Raising your kids an issue of life? Yep. Health in your body? Yep. Success in your job? Yep. Business? Yep. Being led by the Holy Ghost? Yep. All issues flow by what's in your spirit. What is it over there, Proverbs 18, right around the 19th verse? It says, through the strong spirit of a man, his body will be sustained in physical calamity. Because there was something strong on the inside, when the flesh was being attacked, that strength in the spirit will sustain or bring strength back to the body. See, that sounds a lot like Proverbs 14:30. It says a sound heart is the strength of the flesh. See, if you want your flesh to have greater strength, you got to put something in your spirit first. And that something is the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. People say, well, Pastor, I went to such and such church, and you know, they don't preach healing there. Well, no one's going to get healed there then. There's a lot of churches, unfortunately, in our day and time, they will conclude every church service, and they don't even give a salvation call. They're giving a happy-go-lucky little sermon. People are walking out feeling all fuzzy, all right? And meanwhile, there were people in there that needed to hear the message of salvation, and they walked out of there still in darkness without having an opportunity. And people say, well, no one gets saved in that church. Right, because they're not sowing the word of salvation. You got to hear the word of salvation over and over. You know, there's been many people that have attended this church through the years that they attended for months and got saved months into their attendance. You think that just because someone walks through the door every week that they've automatically made that decision. You don't know that. And so every week, what do? We give them an opportunity. People hear and hear. You know, if you're sowing healing, people can get healed there. If you're sowing prospering God's way, you can receive it there. If you're sowing freedom from fear there, you can receive it there. See, that's why it's important to be hearing and hearing. Why is it so important? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Don't just be zeal without knowledge. See, when I look out and I see many people, they're taking notes. They're holding on to this stuff. Why? Because knowledge is important to them. Can't get by on your zeal. Believe me, if jumping up and down at the pep rally would have spared me from finals week, I would have been jumping up and down. But it didn't. Oh, praise the Lord. All the high school students are like, yeah, I'm never cheering again at those things. I'm not trying to steal your fun here. I'm not trying to steal your rah-rah siskoomba. Push them back, way back. Rah, 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 rah. You remember that song? Siskoomba. Be true to your school, come on. You've never heard, that's the Beach Boys, right? You've never heard the Beach Boys sing that song? Then what America are you being raised in? Got a letter on my sweater and all that stuff? Come on. Praise the Lord. Makes me want to go surfing. I can use, it's pretty hot up here. That sounds pretty good. Where'd I tell you to go now? Hebrews 11. Rah, rah, siskoomba. I mean, come on. Go back to those days. Life was pretty good in America. God was still in our schools and so on. Not saying that the Beach Boys were godly. Goodness, if you look a little deeper there, you find out they were not. Anywho, Hebrews 11:6 is what we're trying to get to. Praise the Lord. Yep, don't, you know, some of you are getting ready to go home and burn your, you know, Beach Boys stuff. Oh, goodness. Hebrews 11:6. So why is it important to build your faith? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So now it must be very pleasing to God for us to be in a place where we're constantly hearing. So when you take hearing and hearing, when you're meditating in the Word, when you're hearing the pastor preach, when those things are significant and sacred to you, now, so you start building your faith. You start using your faith, and now, see, that's what God is pleased with. God is not, now, remember, James chapter 1 warns us that if you hear the Word, but don't do the Word, you're deceiving your own selves. There's a lot of Christians that are thinking that just by attending church, you know, they're going to just walk into power just because of what they attend. Listen, you sitting in church does not make you powerful, just like sitting in a garage does not make you a car. See, when there's got to be some changes. You know, there's got to be a dedication to do what you hear. That's when the power, that's when faith is being used. So you hear and hear, you believe it, you obey it, and now God is pleased. Because you're hearing and hearing and doing the Word. Now notice this, it's talking about faith. Without faith, without hearing and hearing, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must. Everyone say must. Must. So now we know there is a requirement of faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, so notice in this verse, we're given at least two requirements of faith if God is going to be pleased. Well, we know how faith will come to us. It's by hearing and hearing the Word, by meditating. See, remember when David said, he said, you know, Lord, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. See, you can write upon the tables of your own heart. You can read that over there in Proverbs chapter 3. You can build it or write the Word upon the tables. Remember those stone tablets? Remember the Ten Commandments that were written in stone? Well, God doesn't want to write the Word in stone anymore. He wants you to write it upon your heart. Amen. So that's what happens when you're meditating in the Word. You then do the Word. See, David said this. He said, Lord, I have hid your Word in my heart so I sin not against you. David said, I'm spending time in the Word so I don't make mistakes. See, the Word keeps your flesh under control. Amen. But without faith, without hearing and hearing, it's impossible to please God. Requirement number one, for he that comes to God. Is there anyone in here that has ever gone to God? Okay, it looks like maybe this side, I'm telling you, you're going to God. This side, it was a little light. Let's try that again. How many of you have ever gone to God with somebody? Woo! See, now we balanced it out. See? It's like the pep rally. Battle of the classes. This side of the church. No, never mind.
Versus that side.
The requirement of faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Now, when Christians see that, the first thing they think of, and I've heard it taught this way, I've read commentaries, I've read scholars even, that say, see, when you first come to God, you must believe that he exists. Okay, when I say this, I don't say it, try to be attacking or anything. That is absolutely foolish. Hebrews is a book in the Bible that was written to people who already believed in Christ, but who were tempted to slide back into Judaism. So whether they were Christians or backsliding into Judaism, either way, they already believed that God existed. When it says that you must believe that he is, it is not believing that God exists. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, it says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. The Bible says that all of creation is the evidence of God's existence. When you look at a tree today, that tree is telling you God is real. All right. I went down to that church, and the pastor said that trees were going to speak to me. It's a figurative metaphor. All, when you look at the mountains, when you look at the ocean, look at yourself. You know, you can believe that you came from monkeys if you want to. I don't know about you, but I was made in the image of God. Amen. I don't know why anyone would want to believe that. First of all, there's no proof of it at all. I mean, just even scientifically, there's not. You know, come on now. Praise God. Thank God that we're made in His image. People say, well, we're genetically 98.5% the same as a chimpanzee. And I say, well, I haven't seen any chimpanzees building 98.5% of a space shuttle. I haven't seen any, you know, some monkey walks up to an anthill, jabs it with a stick, pulls it out of the anthill, licks the ants off the stick, and they say, he's a tool maker. We're 98% genetically equivalent. Well, I haven't seen a chimpanzee do 98.5% of a brain surgery or an organ transplant. I haven't seen them build 98.5% of an aircraft carrier. So if we're so similar, then they should be 98.5% as capable as we are. I don't see any of them in the major leagues. I don't see any of them out there hitting 500-foot home runs. Don't see them out there building skyscrapers, jumbotrons, international space stations. Oh, there's plenty of monkeys that have gone to space, all right. But not because they got there on their own. Yeah. And it usually don't go so well for those guys when they get... Anyway. Oh, raining on my parade. So we must believe that God is. What that means is, it doesn't mean that we believe that God exists. We know that God exists. It's not... It doesn't say you must believe God exists. Would you go to somebody you didn't believe existed? God, here I am. I don't think you exist, but here I am to talk to you. He that goes to God, you're going there in the first place because you must believe he truly exists. The people that were receiving the letter of Hebrews already well believe that God exists. Okay? That was not the question. What it means is this. He that comes to God must believe God is. You must have a God is kind of faith. Meaning, you must go to God knowing already what He is, who He is. You must believe He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You must believe He is the only wise God, our Savior. You must believe that He is healer. That He is. God will only be in your life what your faith says He is. How do you find out who and what God is? The Word. Here is the biggest mistake that Christians make and when they come to a point where they try to discover who God is or what He is. All right? They look at the circumstances in life. They'll look at famines. They'll look at pestilences and disease. They'll hear about tragedies and accidents, and they'll say, God had a reason. God did that. Even insurance companies. A house falls on a tree. It was an act of God. God is the destroyer. God is going to pulverize and smash and destroy. But see, that's the God that might be in people's minds, but that's not the God that reveals Himself in the Bible. I already said, John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, the thief is the destroyer. The thief is the killer. I am the life giver. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. People say, I don't know why God made me sick. Well, there's just an issue. God didn't make you sick. God did it. See, your religion has taught you that you got anti-faith by hearing and hearing the wrong thing. You better be careful what you're hearing. Oh, but God did it. God put me down. God, you know, my goodness, you know what? And I say this, and you're going to get a little snicker out of it, but I'm actually somewhat being serious. You'd be doing more favors for your faith listening to the Beach Boys than you would be listening to Christian radio. I have never heard a greater concentration of statements and comments that were disguised as being truth but are really anti-faith. Songs that are about God killing people and why'd he do it and God's the wrecking ball and he is the killer. If God was a killer, Jesus said, I can only do what I've seen my Father do. If God was a killer, Jesus would have had to kill somebody. Jesus would have, if God is the author of accidents, he would have had to throw a child in front of a car or toss him off the hill. God would have had to tell Jesus, hey, go and sneak into somebody's house at night and destroy their life. No, Jesus said, no, I'm not the thief. Remember when his disciples said, Master, these people have rejected you. Shall we call fire down from heaven and consume them? Remember when they said that? Jesus turned in Luke chapter 9. He said, you know not what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but through him that they might be saved. He is a saving God, protecting God. Right? Psalm 84:11. Grace and glory shall he give. The Lord is a sun and a shield. Grace and glory shall he give. And he will withhold no good thing from those that walk uprightly. Right? James 1:5. Ask of God, you know, talking about, you know, asking for wisdom. And God who gives to all men liberally. That didn't mean politically liberally. That means generously. God is the giving God. If you look up James 1:5 in the Amplified, it says the giving God. He revealed himself to Israel in Exodus 15:26. He said, I am the Lord that heals thee. He said over there in Exodus 25:23, he said, I will bless your bread and water. I will take all sickness from your midst. Amen. So you must believe that God is. Your circumstances do not tell you what God is. People will say, I have nothing. I lost my job. Everything's gone away. God must be doing this to me to teach me something. God is the provider. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and they'll say, well, my circumstances, you know, oh, I got sick, so God wanted me sick. Someone got hurt in an accident. God must have wanted it. There's a ton. Folks, have we forgotten even the most simple principle of faith? What is it over there? 2 Corinthians 5:7? We walk by faith. Not by sight. Your sight does not tell you who and what God is. There's only one place where God reveals who he is, and that is the Word. He wants the Word to tell you who he is. All right? So when you go to God, the first requirement of faith is that you have a God is kind of faith. See, how do you get saved? Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Isn't that what you did with your faith? You said, Jesus is Lord and Savior. See, you had a Jesus is faith, and it got you saved. See, and that's where a lot of Christians stop. They think that he's salvation God only. Listen, he's salvation God first, but there's a lot more to God than just saving us from our sins. He's made a wonderful covenant with you and I. So when we spend time in the Word, our spirit gets filled with who God is. And so when you have to face this world, you say, God is my healer. For the Bible says, you know, over there in Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who what? Forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. See, David was fellowshipping with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God said, God is the forgiver, and he is your healer. And it was eternally recorded in the Word so that we can get filled on the knowledge of who God is. He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. Amen. He is our provider, our abundant provider. I mean, he is our protector. He will bless the righteous. With favor, he will surround you with a shield. The Bible says in Psalm 5:12. But what if you didn't know that? What if you didn't know it? See, that happens because there's knowledge. We have a lot of, you know what the modern mega church movement is? It's a movement of zeal without knowledge. Look at our band. Look at our smoke screen. Look at our club-like atmosphere. Look how youthy we are. Look at our ripped jeans. Look at my Hawaiian shirt. Look at my t-shirt and my muscles. Look at my this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at the book I wrote. Look at all that stuff. You know, it's all this zeal and trendiness. And then when you hear the content of the messages, it's weak. It's feel good. Be a better you. How to work your way to the top. It's just like motivational speeches is all it is. It's zeal without knowledge. It's jumping up and down. It's rocking out. It's partying. Everyone thinks it's God. But God goes where there's knowledge. God wants to build places, churches of knowledge. In every church that builds upon some other foundation than the Word of God, it's not a matter of if it will fail. It's a matter of when it will fail. The Word, the Word, the Word. The Word is always, always first. So now you're there in Hebrews 11:6. Let me give you an example. Go down there to verse 11, and we're going to end here. God is. See, when you go to God, you come there armed with knowing who he is. When I go before God, God, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're my covenant God. You are the only wise God, my Savior. Remember how the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4, they were quoting David. They said, why did the heathen rage? Remember, he said, you are the God that made the heavens and the earth. See, they came to God. God is. God is creator. God is protector. Why are we going to worry about the threats of the Pharisees when the God who made the mountains is on our side? See, they started just quoting. Why? Because they were filled with the Word. God is. Remember Sarah, Abraham's wife? There was a miracle promised to her. Remember that? She was barren without a child, but God said, there's coming a day, you're having a kid. And guess what? Her 90th birthday came and went. No child was there as of yet. And remember over there in the book of Genesis, she started to have some questions and doubts, which is understandable. You know? She started to say, you know, started to be, you know, really pummeled with the temptation to say, I'm too old. You know, things have gone too long. My husband's too old. You know, she started to almost make excuses. There was a temptation for her to make an excuse or a reason why God couldn't do it. But she got a hold of that. She reeled it in. Watch what she did in Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Notice God's miracle power was not without Sarah's cooperation. There had to be faith. God had even said, Sarah, you're going to have a child, but he needed her to say something. It says, and she was delivered of a child when she was past age. That's an understatement. Don't you love how the Bible just casually? She had a kid when she was past age. She was really past age. She was delivered of a child when she was 90. Why she received this miracle? Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Every time a temptation came to her, oh, this can't happen. God is faithful. God is faithful. Well, you're too old, Sarah. God is faithful who promised. Well, your husband's too old. God is faithful. Well, you're out here in the desert. God is faithful. It's never going to happen. God is faithful. See, she had a God is kind of faith. She knew who God was. And it was that knowledge was found as she spoke the Word of God. All right? And so if you're going to receive, if you're going to walk into this life that God has for you, if you go to God, you better go there prepared with knowledge. When you get down on your knees and pray, who is God to you? Meaning, what have you developed in your faith that you can repeat back to him? Father, this is what I know about you. This is who you are. You're the only wise God, our Savior. You are El Shaddai, the God who is all-sufficient and more than enough. You are the Lord, the God of my victory, right? That was one of his names. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord that provides. Amen. He's the one that's more than enough. And when you go to him and you have a God is kind of faith, that is what gets attention in heaven. God is. God is. See, all of Hebrews chapter 11 is about these patriarchs and matriarchs of faith who learned who God is. See, no one knew who God was, so he built a ship at God's command in the middle of a desert. Abraham, you could go through, I mean, Abel and all those ones that by faith they knew who God was. Enoch knew who God was so much that he didn't even die physically. He just walked over. You can't do that unless you have a God is kind of faith. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All right? You've got to stir your faith all the time. Your voice is going to be essential in you building your faith as you meditate in the word. Well, Pastor, I just get my Bible out when it's time to go to church. That's a problem. Because I'm telling you, pep rally or not, finals week is coming. Pep rally or not, well, I go to that church. I go to that praising church. I go to that preaching church. Well, I go to a zealous church. I even act zealously. I serve zealously. I even give zealously. Wonderful. But you better know the word. You better know the word. He didn't say go out and make zealots of all nations. He said go out and make students of all nations. Study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed. See, God's saying it's unnecessary for this world to bring you down, to put you into shame. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. The word of truth. See, but a lot of Christians are being absolutely dragged through the mud in this world when they could have just, you know, prepared themselves with knowledge. Amen. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get ready to dismiss here in just a moment. Father God, we just praise you. Father, we glorify you. Father, you are faithful. You are good. Lord, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the creator of heaven and earth. There is no other God besides you. You are the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the one that led Israel through the Red Sea. You are the one that brought water out of the rock. You are the one that supplied them with manna from heaven. You are the one that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You are the only one with the words of life. And Father, we praise you. You are our saving God, our healing God, our providing and protecting God. We lack no good thing. We are more than conquerors through you that have loved us. You gave us the power and the privilege to be sons and daughters of the living God. And Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you. You are so faithful and good. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, before we dismiss, I'm just going to ask everybody within the sound of my voice, both inside and outside, ask yourself this question. Have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? Have I personally made that dedication and that commitment to receive him as Lord and Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And if you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Of course, I can't see into the parking lot, but I can look into this sanctuary. If you know that I'm speaking of you, if you know in your heart that you need to be saved, something just on the inside is just telling you that's you. I'm not going to make you stand up today. I'm not going to make you come down front. I'm not going to send you off into, you know, a room with church leaders or something. I'm not going to ask for your information, nothing like that. But right there in your seat, say, Pastor, that's me. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll just simply have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer right there in your seat with eyes closed, head bowed. You can pray right along and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. I see that hand. You can put them down. God loves you. He's not mad at you. We had a few hands here today. Is there anyone else before we pray? God's not mad. He's not, you know, trying to put you down. He's trying to fill you with knowledge. He wants to lead you into the life that He has for you. But your decision, your faith is necessary. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. Folks that are out in the parking lot, pray right along with us. If you're one of the ones and you're sitting out there in your car and you know that you need Jesus, pray along with us. If you're watching by live stream today, pray along with us. God will hear you. Say, well, Pastor, what's the trick? There's only one catch. You got to be sincere. Just mean it. God will hear you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise the Lord. If you're on the inside, let's go ahead and have you stand up. We'll get ready to dismiss. Of course, we're receiving our normal tithes and offerings at the door as you leave. Again, visitors, you're never obligated. Church family, you know what to do. Same thing for those in the parking lot. We're giving as we leave today. Same thing, visitors out there, no obligation. We have plenty of church family out there. You know what to do. We can go ahead and dismiss those that are in the parking lot. That would be great. Hey, just a reminder for those that are on the inside, when we exit through our main doors, just stay to the right. That way you won't get down in the way of anyone leaving in the parking lot. Praise God. Let's just go ahead before we go and just give Him all the praise and glory. Father, we magnify you. We praise you. Father, I command your hand of blessing upon each one, that Lord, that everyone within the sound of my voice would live the plan that you have for them. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.